You're listening to the CyberWire Network, powered by N2K.
Hey, everybody. Today, I want to highlight a name that all of us know well, and that is our sponsor, Splunk. You need to keep operations humming around the clock, but potential disruptions are everywhere. Splunk helps you predict problems and find and fix issues fast so you can reduce risk and ditch downtime. The world's largest enterprises rely on Splunk's unified security and observability platform to become more efficient, resilient, and innovative. With Splunk, you can react quickly, evolve faster, and be ready for anything. Stay ahead of disruptions. Learn more at splunk.com/resilience. And we thank Splunk for sponsoring our show. In the dynamic world of enterprise security, identity architects and IT leaders face a major challenge. Growth by repeated acquisitions multiplies the complexity of everything. Multiple IDPs, MFA providers, policy engines that all need to coexist. This can lead to fragmented user identities and policies that create security vulnerabilities and add access friction. Strata Identity solves this. Now you can decommission unneeded IDPs and consolidate the ones you'd like to keep without rewriting apps or disrupting users, engineers, and app owners. Plus, Strata's modular architecture makes it easy to integrate with any identity provider without manual maintenance and coding. Join the ranks of cybersecurity leaders using identity orchestration. Visit strata.io/cyberwire, share your top identity security priorities, and receive a pair of complimentary AirPods Pro. Offer valid for organizations with over 5,000 employees. Step into a new era of identity management at strata.io/cyberwire.
We've got ransomware developments, the good, the bad, and the ugly, Netgear routers and the mom-and-pop dilemma, breaking Android pattern locks, Facebook has a novel approach to password recovery, Keysight will buy Ixia, and IBM's acquisition of Agile 3 Solutions gets positive analyst reviews, Australia's Data 61 Innovation Shop wants to go all in for cyber, ISIS makes hay of U.S. immigration policy, but the group shows signs of cracks. I'm Dave Bittner in Baltimore with your CyberWire summary for Tuesday, January 31st, 2016. We begin with some developments in ransomware. Two relatively new strains are out in the wild. Trend Micro is describing one they're calling RansomNetix.a. It's targeting Windows users who also use Netflix, and it's holding their Netflix login credentials hostage, which is a bit of a twist. But then an effective extortionist holds something you value at risk. We've heard how Washington, D.C.'s police experienced a ransomware attack on their surveillance cameras around Inauguration Day. Another police department, this one from Cockrell Hill, Texas, has also fallen victim to ransomware. In their case, it's thought the infestation came through the usual spam vectors with links incautiously clicked by recipients. The security firm Acronis identified the ransomware strain in Texas as OSIRIS, an evolved version of Lockheed that shows an ability to evade most perimeter safeguards. The police declined to pay, instead biting the bullet and wiping the infected server, accepting the loss of several years' worth of records. Again, secure backup is your best defense. And the criminals have hit back at the White Hats in other ways. Over the past week, ransomware protection companies MSSoft and Dr. Web both sustained distributed denial-of-service attacks, apparently in retaliation for both companies' good work in offering decryption tools and other security system to ransomware victims. MSSoft has told Bleeping Computer that they believe the author of MRCR, also known as Mary Xmas, is the hood responsible for organizing the campaign. TrustWave reports Netgear routers are susceptible to authentication bypass flaws. They disclosed their findings to Netgear, which is making security updates available. The bugs can be exploited remotely through the router's remote management option. Michael Patterson, CEO of Plixer International, commended Netgear to us for not having enabled remote management by default, But there's a dilemma here, too. If you remove the remote access feature entirely, that puts the onus of updating firmware on the user. And a lot of those users are home users, or mom-and-pop small businesses. Patterson said, quote, "For those mom-and-pop shops who own one of those devices, it would be highly unlikely that they would have the time and expertise to implement updates continuously. This is why it's very important to monitor all traffic to and from the DNS using NetFlow or IPFix. Service providers could easily identify their customers that are reaching out to strange DNS servers. The problem in the industry is that service providers are not motivated to take on this responsibility as the malware isn't impacting their services." End quote. British and Chinese researchers have published findings that show how Android's pattern lock system can be broken. Craig Young, principal security researcher with security firm Tripwire, thinks passwords are still your best bet for securing an Android device. Unfortunately, good, strong passwords are tough to use on a phone, which is why he recommends phones with fingerprint readers. Young says, quote, "While biometric security certainly has its limitations, I feel that it will generally still hold up better against most attack vectors than a simple pattern or PIN unlock code." End quote. This, of course, is one instance of the more general problem of authentication that many experts see as a major issue for 2017. Facebook might have come up with an interesting approach to one aspect of authentication, password recovery, now most often done by means of email and secret questions. They announced it at Usenix, and they call it delegated recovery. In Bleeping Computer's account, an online service vouches for a user on another website roughly like this. User Bob has an account on Facebook and GitHub. Bob generates a recovery token with GitHub. Bob saves the GitHub recovery token inside his Facebook account. Bob loses access to his GitHub account. Bob recovers his GitHub account using the recovery token stored in his Facebook account. Facebook says the recovery token is encrypted, and no online service that temporarily stores it can read the token. With all of the news about ransomware and IoT vulnerabilities, it's easy to lose sight of the fact that malvertising remains a common, profitable attack. Security company RiskIQ recently published their 2016 malvertising report, and we spoke with RiskIQ security researcher Ian Cowger.
So in a malvertising instance, whenever you're delivered an ad on your page, there's a long series of redirections where it reaches out to, from the publisher out to the ad exchange, which then goes to the DSP, and then a long series of redirections that pulls in assets from any number of parts. So whenever you're delivered an ad, it actually goes through a lot of different hands. And at any one of those points, including both the origin and near the end, any one of those web assets can be compromised. If one of those are compromised, then it just they can link out to some malicious file and either redirect you out your entire user session to something bad, or they can just drop a malicious file on you.
And who are they specifically targeting? Are they mostly going after consumers, or is it a wider net than that?
It is really anyone who views an ad as a potential target. So common scam payloads that they would drop would be like a fake tech support scam. Like, you have a virus on your computer, call this number. And then, you know, they create a problem and solve a problem. Or, you know, they will drop a banking Trojan onto your device, and then they'll just sit there and listen for you logging into any of your banking applications or onto any of your banking websites, and then they'll capture your credentials and then send that back or harvest any credit card details. Or even just general spyware these days. Just harvesting user information about you is oftentimes more valuable than even your credit card information. Credit card dumps are getting cheaper and cheaper, whereas personal information is getting bought up at a higher price.
I'm surprised that that this sort of thing makes it through, you know, some of the large ad networks like Google and Facebook.
Yeah, sadly it does. But the key important thing there is that there's a lot of sophisticated filtering systems that these guys put in place as a means to evade solutions like ours or other solutions. So in normal ad delivery systems, there are means to target whichever user you're trying to do. They turn those same sorts of tools around to then try and not serve it to scanning solutions or security researchers, such as anytime you'll get one payload, oftentimes they'll never send the payload to the same IP, or they'll try and use specific calls to figure out whether or not what they're doing is running inside of a sandbox environment. The security industry in this space has always been a sort of cat and mouse game of new techniques are developed and then new countermeasures are developed. And it's always sort of an evolving space.
That's Ian Cowger from RiskIQ. In industry news, Keysight's rumored acquisition of Ixia seems to be happening, with Ixia fetching $1.6 billion. The acquisition is expected to close in October. IBM's acquisition of Agile 3 Solutions is receiving generally positive analyst reviews as a cybersecurity play. And in Australia, Data61, that country's innovation promotion organization, wants to go all in on financial technology and cybersecurity. ISIS is making information war hay of President Trump's order restricting immigration from seven Muslim-majority countries. Its narrative suggests, first, that ISIS represents Islam, and second, ISIS is the victim here. ISIS messaging, however, is also showing signs that the group may be fragmenting under kinetic military pressure. It remains to see what that will mean in terms of the threat it poses. And finally, those following Russia's FSB shakeup may wish to revisit the old interview with Shalte Bolte. The Russian Humpty Dumpty has been a wasp in that government's ear for some time, and last month's FSB arrest suggests that Humpty Dumpty is having an effect.
And now, a word from our sponsor, Zscaler, the leader in cloud security. Cyber attackers are using AI in creative ways to compromise users and breach organizations. In a security landscape where you must fight AI with AI, the best AI protection comes from having the best data. Zscaler has extended its Zero Trust architecture with powerful AI engines that are trained and tuned by 500 trillion daily signals. Learn more about Zscaler Zero Trust plus AI to prevent ransomware and AI attacks. Experience your world secured. Visit zscaler.com/zerotrustAI. The IT world used to be simpler. You only had to secure and manage environments that you controlled. Then came new technologies and new ways to work. Now, employees, apps, and networks are everywhere. This means poor visibility, security gaps, and added risk. That's why Cloudflare created the first-ever connectivity cloud. Visit cloudflare.com to protect your business everywhere you do business.
And I'm pleased to be joined once again by Ben Yellen. He's a senior law and policy analyst at the University of Maryland Center for Health and Homeland Security. Ben, we talked not too long ago about Coinbase, a Bitcoin currency company, who ran into some troubles with the IRS. The IRS wanted to get some records on Coinbase's customers, and Coinbase is pushing back. Fill us in here.
Sure. So this is a story we referenced a couple months ago on the podcast. The IRS back in March of 2014 issued a guidance document on virtual currency, and they basically said it would be treated for tax purposes, not necessarily as income, but as property. So it still has to be reported like any sort of gain in property that someone gets through the year. They have to report on their income taxes. They would have to do the same for virtual currency. The IRS, of course, in its effort to increase its tax receipts, sent a request to Coinbase to collect the personal data of thousands of its users. The rationale was they wanted to make sure that all of the property, the virtual currency being collected, was being reported for tax purposes. Coinbase, under its CEO, Brian Armstrong, estimated this past week that it'll cost the company between $100,000 and $1 million to defend its customers from what he called an overly broad subpoena. And eventually those costs are going to be passed down to the consumer, I think it's reasonable to say. And you know, we saw the same issue with Apple and the FBI. We have these tech companies, and in this case, Coinbase, advertising to its consumers that their information is going to be protected, that they're going to have data integrity. And then the government comes in and submits this request. In this case, the federal judge ruled that Coinbase would be ordered to turn over this data. It's not only a monetary problem for Coinbase in terms of the legal costs, but they're not going to be able to represent themselves as somebody who has data integrity, and that's going to hurt their bottom line going forward.
So take us through the process here. What's next in terms of Coinbase fighting this order?
So Coinbase has asked to intervene in the court proceedings. They're going to make their first appearance in front of a federal judge in the Northern District of California this coming February. A favorable ruling would mean that there would be a separate proceeding where Coinbase would be able to argue against the IRS, against the intrusion into this data.
All right, we'll stay tuned. Ben Yellen, thanks for joining us.
Managing the requirements for modern security programs is increasingly challenging and time-consuming. Enter Vanta. Vanta gives you one place to centralize and scale your security program. Quickly assess risk, streamline security reviews, and automate compliance for ISO 27001, SOC 2, and more. You can leverage Vanta's market-leading trust management platform to unify risk management and secure the trust of your customers. Plus, use Vanta AI to save time when completing security questionnaires. CyberWire daily listeners can get $1,000 off by going to vanta.com/cyber. That's vanta.com/cyber.
And that's the CyberWire. We are proudly produced in Maryland by our talented team of editors and producers. I'm Dave Bittner. Thanks for listening. And now a word from our sponsor, Netskope. Netskope is a worldwide leader in SASE and Zero Trust. Its unified platform, Netskope One, provides optimized access and zero trust security for people, devices, and data anywhere they go, helping customers reduce risk, accelerate performance, and get unrivaled visibility into any cloud, web, and private application activity. To learn more about how Netskope helps customers be ready for anything on their SASE journey, visit netskope.com.